Hey everyone, quick heads up before we dive in. We had some mic issues with our guest at the top of today's episode, so the audio quality is a little rough at the beginning. It does get better as the show goes on. Thanks for bearing with us and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your EdTech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. Listen, today is just an incredible show. We've talked about we're using this new program. So I've got all my friends here today. We've got episode number 78. And so I am excited. It's kind of weird again to talk to the camera. I've got people in the house. We've got cameras set up. I feel like big leagues, but we're having all kinds of issues today. So it's been really fun because then I see people on the screen and you can't see them yet. You can hear them. Again, like we're in a whole new world of like, you can watch the show and be scared of our faces, or you can just listen to it and be okay with that. So let's go. We'll go ahead and start. We got this. So our show today, we're going to do a little EdTech madness. We're going to share some tips, tricks. A lot of the people in the room are not prepared. Some of us are prepared more than others. And so I am excited to get diving in. So listen, we're going to start with the highlight of the whole show. It's just another complete honor to have him on the show again. But we're going to go ahead and introduce the world famous Scott Webb. How's it going, Scott?
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program once again. What a great day. Anytime I get to be on the Tech Plus, it just elates me to no end. So happy to be here.
Yeah, since TCA, people are just wanting you on the show. So I'm making more of an effort to have you here. So thank you for being here. And then we're going to go to Pam. How's it going, Pam?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks for having me.
Excited for you to be here. And then we got Shelly. Shelly's in the house. How's it going, Shelly? There we go. Awesome. And then we've got Colby Burris. Remember, you can follow him on @XlistCBurris on all the social medias. How's it going, Colby?
Hey, I am so excited to be here. You know what I love about this is I really feel like the Brady Bunch. Like, I want to look over here and, like, I'm looking at Scott, then I'm looking over here. And
yeah.
And I'm looking at Shelly. I'm looking down here at you. So I'm just so excited to be on the Brady Bunch.
I know. And it's kind of fun, too, because like most of, you know, you and Scott are in your offices. You're doing that. And then we've got some people in the house. And so then I'm like turning and looking and I feel like a little crazy because I can see myself doing that. And it's just, it's a different vibe. So, all right. Well, listen, let's get diving in. I'm ready to talk some content. So here we go. So first and foremost, we're going to talk about a tip or a trick that you want to share. Now, remember, this is kind of towards the end of the school year. So keep that kind of mind frame as we start talking about things. So when we think about the year as a whole, I love seeing y'all's faces when I start asking these questions. It's awesome. And so think about something as a whole that you've learned this year, maybe a good tip, trick, maybe something a teacher in your building has shared. And we'll just kind of go around and kind of share those. So we're going to start with Shelly first. So Shelly, what's a big tip or kind of trick that you've learned throughout the year that's been really impactful?
Yeah, I love that. It's always fun to have those kids do something and you see that spark that comes about it. So let's go to our next little tip or trick. Colby, what you got for us today?
Set up with one certain color combination. The next printer set up with another color combination. The next is with the next combination. So kids put their name at the top, put what color combination they're wanting. And then as a teacher, when you get all those files, you would put all of your blue and whites together, and you can usually put 3 or 4 prints onto a single plate, then hit print. So now you're saving a lot of time with, if you 3D print, you know, it takes a while for it to warm up, for it to do the terminology. Basically, it poops and it checks all the filaments. So you don't have to, that initial 5-minute setup time for each project is now cut in half. So try to think of workflows like that where you're combining multiple student projects whenever you're 3D printing. And that way you can print your students' designs much quicker.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like just like what Shelly said, like when you get those kids to do something like this and you see that spark, it's just incredible the things they can make. And really the 3D modeling, that's the first part of, you know, knowing your math, knowing your angles. And that really kind of helps with that design process instead of just going out there and willy-nilly doing something. So I love that. I love that tip of the colors and being able to print. So Scott, what do you got for us today? What kind of tip or trick do you have for you? And I know, you know, we're different. And so like you're more that seeing the overall thing. So I'm really excited to see what kind of information you got for us today.
Well, Josh, you know, there's all sorts of ways we can kind of dive into this. I guess probably, you know, I've spent a lot of time just in the last few days looking. We've done a tech survey, kind of seeing what's really been popular with our people. And the two platforms that have been kind of widely used or kind of really have taken hold are Canva and ChatGPT/AI, a kind of AI product. So those are the two most popular products are tech tools that we're seeing used in our schools. You know, obviously, I can't say enough about how fabulous Canva is and how incredible it continues to be in terms of the amount of things they've added to the platform over the course of the last 2 or 3 years. It just makes it my go-to graphic, almost anything kind of platform, where if I'm needing something, you know, from a picture perspective or from a background or from a social media graphic or any of that. But it has so many more tools than just that. So I think that the use and usability of Canva has really improved. And that would, to me, be one of my favorite. And obviously AI, it's too broad of a topic, but just for me personally, you know, I use AI a lot of time just to kind of clean some things up for, you know, I may want to have a different tone or send a different type of message out. And I always make sure that I kind of look at it. I make it my own. I never just pull and copy and paste directly from AI, but it helps get me on a path. So being able to use it effectively has been, and it helps increase my efficiency. So those would probably be my two favorite things. Those are the two things that I'm in quite a bit and that I've seen from the feedback from our teachers on our technology survey are kind of two of the more important tools that they are using pretty much on a daily basis.
Yeah, I feel like both of those are just incredible platforms. I know we've had Canva for a long time.
Right. They're not, it's not like we're talking about state-of-the-art, cutting edge, just been out there. You know, these are tools that have been around, but we're starting to see the impact of these tools. You know, with the things we've done inside of Canva, like branding kits and things like that, have really increased the amount of use we're seeing in the platform. I think it's been about 3 years now that we transitioned to becoming a Canva district, and it has really taken hold. Outside of Google itself, I think Canva has really been one of the more impactful things that we've introduced to the district over the course of the last several years.
Yeah, and I feel like we're always learning a new trick or a new tip or something that comes with it, with the updates and everything. It's just incredible.
And the thing about this is they listen. They listen to feedback because they're constantly adding, you know, it's a whole lot different than it was just 2, 3, 4 years ago. So they have a love for education, as, you know, we do get free educational accounts, and that has been, you know, it's always a bonus, especially from a guy that has to deal with budgets and things like that. So very excited to continue our partnership with them and excited to see the amount of use we're seeing, not only in the secondary world, but all the way down into lower elementary. We're starting to see kids get exposed to those tools and start to incorporate those into their learning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Pam, what you got for us today? What's a big tip or trick for us?
Well, y'all covered a lot of good stuff, and I'm going to go to Google. Let's talk about Google Calendar. And when you make a calendar invite, there's a goodie in your ad description. It's a create meeting note. And so I don't know that many folks know that. You don't have to continually make new meeting notes. You can always share a meeting note that you've, you know, just dated for the year and share with your folks. But if you do need a new meeting note, this is where you could get it. Then if you'll jump over to Drive, which, by the way, that is a Drive document that you can get back to and find it again. I personally love when you create a new untitled document. So you would go to your Drive and then, you know, go to the new button, go to a doc. And when you open up the doc, I think a lot of us just start typing or just overlook something that is there. There's some buttons at the top, templates, meeting notes, email draft, and more. The email draft is probably one of my favorite tools. Jason Viviano and I collaborate a lot with the STEM Hub and just managing the space, and I'm working on communication. So in order to do an email, oftentimes I'll do this email draft. And when I do the email draft, it allows me to go ahead and share it with Jason, and then we can collaborate and work on the draft. And then the magic is there's a little blue button. Once you have clicked the email draft, you'll see all the fields for like the to and the CC and the subject, and you start typing out your email draft and you can share it. But then there's a little button on the left-hand side of your screen, and you click that and it goes directly to your Gmail where you can send it. You can do more edits there. It is not an automatic send. Nobody needs to be stressed. Like, it's not sending it immediately, but the draft is then put into your Gmail for you to then proof a second time or a tenth if you're me, and then go ahead and send it from there. It is amazing. So that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, it really helps with the flow and doing things. And even the more I've dove into like all this AI things, and recently I've been diving into Claude, and Claude just, even like when you think about Gmail and the calendar and all those things, that just helps with your workflow. There's just so many things that are coming up here. Even like in Gmail now, there's a studio button up here that will help create your workflows. So I was kind of messing with that a little bit today, and it'll kind of read your emails to where, like, if there's an important one, or if I know there's an email coming from Scott Webb that I need to read it, then it will actually, I can set it up to send me a Google meeting or Google Hangout message, and I'll get that instantly. So it's kind of both ways to do that. So that's exciting, man. Listen, we got a lot of good tips and tricks in here. I know we've got a lot of wealth of knowledge in this room or on the screen. So that's been phenomenal. Now, listen, all right,
maybe not so much in the room, but
we're gonna have to mute him now. Listen, so let's keep going down this track of the best things, these tips and tricks. Right now, I know we all went to TCA, and I know I've talked a lot about, there's so many programs out there, right? There's so many things that may do the same thing. They may look and feel different, but we're all attracted to something different within those programs. So I'd love to know what y'all think about maybe your favorite go-to program. Right? Whether your favorite go-to is ChatGPT for a lot of things, whether it's going to a site like School AI, maybe it's Gemini. I know I'm giving out some good content, but like, what is like a program, like maybe a daily basis program, or just a program that you really like to talk with teachers about? And then I'll let whoever wants to go first this time.
Well, I'm going to jump in because I am going to go back to Google. I seem to live a lot in the Google world. I still think Google Sites has such a great platform for creating those, just a one-stop shop for our littles. We do sites for like technology links. We do interdepartmental sites. We can do any number of site that you can think of. You can build it, and you know, your sharing capabilities can either be opened or closed. So I especially love Google Sites. So I've been loving, like, in spreadsheets and auto, you know, using Autocrat, you know, Chrome extension, where you just, or the add-on where you can mail merge, and fought through that yesterday. I don't use it a lot, but whenever I do, I think this is so dynamic. This saves me so much time. So big fan of Autocrat and Google Sites.
Yeah, those are some good ones that have been there for a while. And just continuing to build on those and be more creative. I feel like sometimes with Google Sites or even the Autocrat format, sometimes we don't always think of the workflows for that, but sometimes those ideas spark and we can really do some incredible things that support not just administrators, but support teachers. And really just our normal daily workflow can really create a lot with that. Shelly, what is your big program you got going on? I think I have a guess, but we'll see what if I'm right or wrong. Yeah, I think that's just phenomenal. Colby, what do you got for us today?
And there's literally hundreds of apps that you can connect to Canva and allow you to do other things. Kind of like your phone. Your phone comes with certain things that it can do, but you go to the app store, you can add other functions to it. Same thing with Canva. On the base level, Canva can do a lot of things, but you go to the apps and you can connect other things. One of the seems like recently I've given out this tip about five times since, what, the last 3 weeks?
And Colby, to piggyback on that, the support I was doing was for some teachers or guidance counselors that were working on TCAP, and they wanted teachers' names to be on all these TCAP forms. I did use Canva. I did the bulk create, but then Autocrat also was needed. You just have to discern what's best, but I can't say enough about either one of those platforms. I also use that bulk create, and with certificates or anything you're trying to get mass produced, it is dynamite.
I love it.
Did we lose Josh for a second?
So the fun thing about this video part, I know we're going to have some of the listeners that continue to listen to the audio, but then when you get the video part, sometimes we forget what really happens behind the scenes, right? So Shelly's got her computer set up. We're doing something new. And her mic was just, I can hear. We'll see what the end result looks like. But then I'm looking at the mic. Nothing's working. I go down the mixer and the microphone was turned down. And that was just bad insight on mine. So we'll see how it works. Shelly, go ahead and say something for us.
Josh, you're just so wonderful.
Yes. That works. See? And I think that's the fun thing about, at least when I view this show, I like for people to see me struggle. I like to see the progression of the show. And I always go back to that first episode that Colby helped me put all the together, the XLR mics and all the things. And I can remember sitting in my basement and having a conversation by myself. And at the time, I'm like, this is awesome. Like, the audio sounds pretty good. It's real. This is incredible. Like, people are going to be impressed. And now going in, you know, to episode 78 and listening, going back and listening to episode 1, it's like, oh my gosh, like, how do people listen to this? This was awful. And so it's fun to see the progression for me in the show. I mean, I hope people see that as well. So I had to go ahead and around and do some things. Now, listen, before we get to Scott's favorite program, I love that as we sit here and talk, you know, I almost think like sometimes we're going to talk about a new this or a new that, but I feel like we consistently go back to our favorites. We consistently go back to Book Creator. I feel like anytime we talk to Shelly, Shelly is telling us that you can do Book Creator with this, this, and that. And there's something always new, and it's always fun to listen to those, to get new ideas with such a great program. And then we've talked about Canva again, and we talk about Google, and we talk about all these things, and we don't necessarily have to go out and look for the next best thing. All these things that are so good are already here. And so sometimes, yes, we're going to find new things, but sometimes we have to remember the good things that we do are already here. They're already in our toolbox. And we just have to continue to craft those and make those better for not just us, but make them better for our teachers and our students that we support. So, all right, Scott, what do we got today? What do we got for this next part of our show?
So back, I think it was in our third episode at TCA, we talked about teachers and the creativeness of teachers. So what you're really talking about is, a lot of these tools have been around for a long time, but it's when you get a technology tool and you get a creative group of people like teachers are, I may see it one way, but a teacher says, oh, this is something that I can do with this to do this. And I may have never thought of that. And to me, that's what the great thing about technology. A lot of these tools, while they're all great and they all have purpose, you know, it's taking what it can do and looking at it a different way and incorporating it into what you're doing on a daily life. Like all these things. Like, for example, I think one of the coolest things I've seen recently was something that Josh did for me, was he took our technology survey that we just sent out to our staff, and he had Claude AI help him build a Google site and digest all that information into a very attractive and usable format so that it was real easy to kind of digest the information. None of those things are new and flashy. It's the combination. I would have never thought to ask Claude to do that. And by incorporating all those tools, that helps produce something that's useful for us. So now when we sit down together as a group and kind of review the survey, it's real easy, instead of going through, and not that Google Forms is not great. It is great. It was used to collect all the information. But now we have this website that we go to that has all the data kind of broke out for us by questions and by responses, all sorts of stuff, and it will be impactful for us, but that's using it a whole new way. And to me, that's what the great thing about technology is. It's not that you need the next cool thing. It's getting people to understand what it can, what the abilities are of the platform are, and then turning their creativity loose to look at it in a different way and use it in ways that I never would have thought of. I learned more from this group than I would ever learn from looking at a something online or doing like that, because I see what these people do on a daily basis, what our group does, what our innovation specialists do. And I see them use things in a way that I never would have thought of. And that's the beauty of what we do on a daily basis and working in technology, is that we can take these tools that can do X, Y, and Z, but if we tweak it and look at it a little different, it can do A, B, and C as well. And that's the impact we're hoping want to have with technology. Introduce them to it, sprinkle in that creativity that happens on a daily basis in education, and then we get great results and get great art. Ultimately, all this is about, whether it's the teachers, staff, whoever, about learning how to implement these tools that will impact learning in our schools.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think, like with both of you, I think the possibilities are really endless. I feel like things that would have took us hours to create a couple years ago can happen really fast. You know, I've had a lot of experiences just this week and last, this, you know, between this survey, helping a principal create this Google Sheet with announcements, and using some fancy formulas that only show the day of the announcements, and just doing things like that. Like, oh, we could YouTube videos, we can find all these things. And again, it takes so long. But to think, hey, maybe I should ask AI, maybe I should ask Claude, Gemini. You know, you've got all these things that have extensions now, they can see your screen. So it's kind of creepy. You know, you talked about Colby. It's kind of odd, because even like as I created things with Claude for this technology survey, Claude is asking me, hey, listen, can I control your desktop? I need access to this on your computer. I need access to this. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And then I try to take some videos to send to y'all. And it's like, it's such a long process for it to work. But at the same time, now I can leave it, walk away, and come back, and it's done. And I think it really is going to change that workflow for a lot of things that we do. So just again, like the sky is the limit. I think new people are going to continue to come up with new ideas, new pathways, and it's just going to be unreal in how we do things.
Right. And with any of these things, it's going to be about boundaries and making sure that the goal is to help improve and make us more efficient, not to eliminate and remove us from the equation. So I still think, you know, we're very early in the AI boom. And just like when you were a kid and you got a new toy, I can remember, you know, and I would just throw myself into it, just try to be as played with those things as long and hard as I could. But eventually you start to find, I can't spend all my time doing that. I want to go outside and ride my bike. I want to go do this. I want to do that. So it's about creating some balance. And we are in that early stage where we want, oh, let's see what all it can do. But at some point we'll realize we want to make sure that you're not eliminating the person from the workflow. And that is still a step that I think we're still navigating through and still trying to find the right balance. But just like I say all the time, technology is just a tool. It's just one part of the equation, and we want to make sure that it doesn't become the... So I always want to lay that caveat out there, because there is starting to be not a technology pushback, but a pausing. Hey, is this exactly the direction we need to go? And as we continue to learn and make adjustments, we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out on the computer. Computers, oh, they're going to be the next big bad keyword. We realize, no, there's still a human element that needs to be involved in that. AI is going to be the same way. It's taking all that into account and making sure that there's balance between all these things, and that we are providing, you know, for us, our goal is always to make sure that we are providing the best educational possible for our students. And it's all of that plays a role in making sure that we accomplish that goal.
I love creating things and spending time to create pictures and drawings and videos and all this stuff. And then there's a little part in me that I'm proud of a teacher when they say, hey, look at this awesome design I made. I made it with AI and it looks great. But then there's a little part of me that's like,
right. And I think Colby, that's across the board too, because, for example, we've had an issue with some use of AI and some student testing. And it's about just like with anything new, it's about finding the balance. When is it appropriate? And when is that? And part of that, all that is encompassed in education and in digital citizenship. And, you know, so I think all of these things go hand in hand to make sure that we are giving our students a clear view, and our staff, for that matter, a clear view of the impact, the digital citizenship impact of AI and what it can do and what it maybe not necessarily needs to do. And when do we need to, when do we need to implement it, and when do we need to use it in a different method or a different way? And so there's a balance, and it's, you know, we, you know, the first reaction by some people when AI was, when that AI push really started a couple of years ago, is, oh, we can't do that. And those are the same people that are using it every single day now. So, but that, but appropriate use and making sure that it is supplementing education and learning and not trying to replace or drive the learning. It's a tool, just like the computer, just like a panel in the room, just like anything else. It's a tool. It's a balance that we're still going, and it's, I'm not going to say like 6 months from now, we're going to have the balance figured out. We're not, because it's just going to take, it's just going to take some time and adjustment, and we've got to be able to allow mistakes. Okay. We've tried to, you know, for example, an example I used earlier, we tried to allow some students some access to some things, and then it proved that maybe that they were not quite ready for that. So we had to, you know, take some of that access away. So it's, there's going to be a constant balancing of how all that works, but we have to keep all of that in mind and make sure that we're thoughtfully looking at it, because to say no is eliminating access to tools and things that can be really beneficial, but we also don't want to stray too far where that's becoming the driving force of what is actually learned. We still want to see students be able to express their learning, and AI can help and support that. But ultimately, it's their learning. So we want to make sure that stays at the forefront.
Yeah, I feel like we're just in a weird spot in education. There's all these great tools out there, but we're still trying to figure out how to use them appropriately and really how we're going to use those with our kids. Like recently, I had a conversation with Casey Chambers from School AI. And so, you know what School AI did? They had all these spaces and, you know, these like front-facing chatbots. And some of the conversation we had was, well, we're not really going to push all our kids to where they're just going to sit in front of a computer and they're going to learn this information. I feel like a lot of these tools out here are going to be, you know, if we're doing station teaching, maybe we're going to have a station where, yes, they're talking to a front-facing chatbot, but then they're going to come swarming back around and they're going to talk to the teacher, and we're going to continue to progress their learning. We're going to adjust. We're going to differentiate for them in person. But it's finding that balance again, like you said, yeah, of what tools that are there and how's that going to look, and still keeping them safe while we use them, but how we're going to continue to grow them for this new world. Because that's really our job, is to grow them. So when they do graduate from high school, that they have some of these skills to be able to work in the workforce, to do the things and be successful.
Right. And you got to remember, too, that the speed in which technology escalates now is faster than ever. You know, in the past, things happened at a little slower time increment. That doesn't happen anymore. Things are exponentially faster in their ramp up and their use. So it's, there'll be times, and I think we're kind of in that area now, or at least in the beginning stages of that area, where we're starting to take a pause and evaluate things. But that's a good thing, because just like with anything else, we're going to evaluate what's going on, re-implement, evaluate, re-implement. And there's necessary, not obstacles is not the right word, but there's necessary pauses in those events that we need to evaluate. Then we go a little further, then we'll evaluate again when we get to a point where we just don't ever want to get to a point where we eliminate reviewing and looking and seeing how it's impacting learning. So as long as we always keep that focus. So that's why I always am constantly bringing up, How is it impacting learning? How is it impacting students? How is it impacting teachers and their learning? As long as we keep that embedded in what we're trying to do and keep that as our focus, then all these things can help supplement those things and help supplement the learning. But there always has to be that evaluation process as we progress further down the line.
Yeah. And I think about this evaluation process, and I think about people that's been in this spot for a long time, supporting teachers, finding new tech tools, talking about the good things. And I think about Shelly. I think, Shelly, you've been in this role for
Did he just call you old?
No, I didn't. You just been in this role for a long time. And I feel like, to a point, like, you've seen these trends, right? You've seen things that have, like, hey, this is the next best thing. And then it either fails or we continue to adopt that and continue to go on. So I just kind of want to hear your input, whether it's just, you know, your time in this spot, in this as an instructional technology coach or innovation specialist. I'm sorry, Scott, innovation specialist. But kind of like, how do you see those trends working? Because I know we've talked about trends with AI, but just as a whole in education, in technology, in this position you've been in, like, how do you see those trends kind of to working to where we are now?
I think the neatest part or the most challenging part is because our job is all forever changing. And that thing is, becoming a lifelong learner is always more part of it too, is because we got to keep challenging teachers, but also staying up on top of what's going on. So one of the things that was interesting in 2007 is when I started this position, and the fact that we were moving desktop computers and we were trying to get things to, how do we get this and how do we get teachers to use the technology? And now it's like, okay, for example, the panels, we brought in Promethea panels. It was like, oh dear God, you expect us to use this? We can't use this. This is never going to work. And now it's like, dear God, my panel's not working. I can't teach. So we've come a long way in just those simple things.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting at TCA thinking about some of the things and listening to different people talking. And going back to what the vision, back when, you know, Alicia Crawley and Cindy Reynolds were the first tech coaches, it was like what their vision and all the things that we envision are coming to pass. It's taken such a long time to get the buy-in, so to speak. But now it's like it's moving so quickly and trying to stay on top of it or even get it ahead of it. There's no getting ahead of it. So, you know? And listening to teachers now is like, for example, is like, I got stopped in the hallway yesterday. Hey, I'm missing some self-selection. What can I do? Hey, wait a minute. Someone just told me about Canva and you can do this, this, and this. And Canva, I'm like, yes. Oh, did you know that I could? I'm like, yes. And seeing the teachers excited about using those things inside their class, they're no longer afraid of the technology. Of course, our kids are really not afraid of technology. They're on top of it and they're teaching our teachers. But it's nice to see the buy-in now. And to see the excitement of, what other tool can I use for this? Or can you come help me with this PBL and show the kids how that they can do X, Y, and Z? But it's also that part of bringing in more of the STEM stuff with the technology so that they can see it's not just about making it on technology, but it's also that hands-on application of building with their hands, making with their hands, and seeing how technology can help you create the vision or create the picture. But in the end, it's still going to take some grunt and some grit and some work to it to make it exactly what needs to be for our day and time. So it's exciting to see where we've come, but also knowing all those challenges we faced back in 2007 when we started this, the challenges are still there because it's that part of creating lifelong learners and keeping it, for myself, staying on top of things to make it to where I haven't arrived. And I think that's one thing is telling teachers all the time too is, we just got to keep on learning.
Yeah.
And then back to what you said earlier, it's a process. It's never that we arrive. It's never perfection, but we keep trying to do things and make it more engaging and we make it better for the kids and making sure that they have what they need, the tools they need to work in the jobs that we don't even know what they're going to be. Everything's changing so much.
And really, when you talked about a process and thinking about like teachers getting these new panels and like, how am I going to use this and like desktop computers, I almost feel like, you know, when we go back to that time period, a lot of these programs that were out there, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but like a lot of these programs maybe weren't free. A lot of these programs, you had to pay for something. And so the programs that we used inside of our schools were maybe very limited. And then we had to be more creative with other ways of using technology. And now we're at to a point now that there's so many things out there for us to use. You've got all these programs that, yes, you can pay for them, but they give you a lot of options that are free that you can still use. And so it's almost like we've gone from, how am I going to use one piece of technology with my students for learning, to now I've got all of these options. And it's just a different mindset. It's a unique, I never thought about it that way until you said that, Shelley. It's just a very unique thing to think. You know, I can remember, you know, when I was at old Walker Valley High School with old Coach Webb, and we had to go, when we had computer time, we had to go to the end of the hallways because that was their only place where you could get on a computer. And there was these, I don't even know what they were called. They were like the tiniest little things that had a power button, and that was it. You could not do anything on them. But we've gone from that to now every kid in the school system has a device that they can use and be successful with things. And it's just that shift of basic technology to all the things out there. It's just, I don't know, it is kind of, it's exciting to see it, but at the same time, it's kind of interesting to see where we're going to land and how we're going to continue to grow those things. I think it's just a, I don't know, it's just a fun thought that I just have.
I like it when you have fun thoughts.
It's fun. I like it. You know, and I feel like sometimes, you know, I say this all the time, that when we have these conversations as a group and we can stay focused and we don't rabbit trail on so many things, I think we really can come up with some great ideas and we really have those very thought-provoking things that happen. Because I know, at least for me, like when I talk on the show by myself, I've said this a ton, like things connect and I think about things differently. Or when you really focus on who's speaking and you just stay locked in, I think new ideas kind of come from that. And I think that's a fun part of this podcasting world that I've really dove into to do this. So, well, listen, I know we've got things to do today. I've got to get to one more session for our little show today. So we've talked about tips and tricks. We've talked about our favorite programs, but I want to talk about a program that maybe you're excited about, a program that you know is out there. You've dove into it a little bit, but you really want to see how it can impact. You really want to know some more about it. So what do we have out there? What kind of new things are coming out that maybe our listeners need to go check out? And we're going to start with Pam first. Pam, what do you got for us today?
Thanks, Josh. You're going to have to edit this.
You're welcome. There's no editing. This is all live.
Well, you said new program and that threw me.
And maybe it's not a new program. It's a program that's been out for 6 months. I don't know. Just new.
Yeah. So School AI is not new. And you and I worked with Ocoee Middle talking through how we could create a space to support writing. And that was just, I think, awesome. That there's a program that would allow us to create a bot that then could allow student interaction. We're giving it state standards. We're giving it documents and all the things that the writing teacher has, exemplars, all the things. And then that bot is able to respond and give support. And I taught writing in fifth grade, so I'm always thinking of how much time I spent. At the time, it was like a club chair in the corner, and I would just sit there for hours, and my red pen, it would just mark on these papers, and it wasn't effective. I know it wasn't, because I mean, I needed to be on a computer and have that interaction with commenting. It is a different day. You guys talk about how things are changing so fast. This is a different day, and we can have a bot that supports, and then we can have teacher feedback as well. Teacher can see how the students interacted with the bot and, you know, where they're struggling and even give further support. So I just feel like that is pretty incredible.
Yeah, they're doing some big things. We've got some cool updates coming. So that's really exciting to hear that. Colby, you want to go next?
Canva bought them out about 2 years ago. And then last year, they re-released Affinity as a free product. So it's, think of it as somewhere in between what Canva is and what Photoshop and Illustrator is. It's a downloadable program for your Mac or Windows devices. There's an iPad app coming soon. It is free. It's a free program. There are some upper level functions to it, some very particular.
Yeah, I love that. And I love, like, listen, especially when you and Scott talk about like things in the studio, or we talk about Adobe products and you use all these like fancy Photoshop terms that I have no idea what you're talking about. It just sounds awesome. And then when I can replicate those things that you talk about, I feel awesome, but I can never remember the fancy terms. So I try not to talk about it. I just know you can do certain things when you click certain buttons.
It's always fun to do that.
I know, but it's fun. It's fun to do those things. But Scott, what are you looking forward to? What's something coming out? Something maybe in the pipeline as a district, or maybe do you just want to find out more about?
I think Colby stole a lot of my thunder. You know, I really, you know, coming from an AV background, I spent a lot of my time at Walker Valley, almost 18 years at Walker Valley, kind of living in that world. And since I've transitioned out of that into this job, I kind of missed the days of being in those kind of platforms. So some of those things, especially Lightroom, is something that I would like to spend a little more time. I don't know when that time will come, but there are things out there. You know, for me, and this is probably not so much a platform. It's a platform we use in this system, but it's still a platform that I'm continuing to learn more and more about is our Droplet platform, which is our online forms and stuff we're using specifically in the business. And a lot of that stuff is got a very big code and Java element to it. So I'm continuing to learn how to do things in that platform. You know, we have over, I think, 50 active forms that we're using in Droplet, and I'm the chief builder of those forms. So, you know, finding ways to make sure those are running efficiently, trying to find, you know, I sat in a webinar the other day, you know, talking about, you know, that was strictly about how to make the form restartable from any step in the workflow process. So that was, even though we were doing that in some forms, just kind of making sure that the way we were doing it is the, you know, one of the best ways to do it. So, you know, those are things like that. It's a little different from my perspective. I have to look at things a little bit differently. So it's not only about what's happening educationally in the classroom, but it's about making sure the technology from a district level perspective is helping and helping us make us more efficient. I've worked quite a bit with our human resources department, our business office, creating forms and doing some things for them to make that. We've got the online registration form that we have started up several years ago, and that we're continuing to add and build support into that. So, you know, I spend a lot of my time trying to make sure that I'm on top of those type of platforms to make sure that we are as efficient as we can be from a district perspective. So that's kind of, you know, my heart of hearts. I would love to spend more time in the AV stuff. I miss doing some of that. I get the opportunity to do some of that, especially from a graphic standpoint with billboards and things like, and some social media posts and things like that. But I miss those days. But I also enjoy what I'm doing. So it's always great to be able to continue to help move us forward as a district.
Yeah, those are awesome. And I love, again, like hanging out with you too, and like talking about these things that really have, like, I've had to learn, especially from the podcast standpoint and up. It's been fun to dive into that world that I really didn't know existed. So that's always fun.
That world is, you know, from what you're learning is. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun, but there's a lot of being able to do this podcast and this new platform that you're using is that there's a learning curve to all that. But that was always the fun part of it. For example, radio broadcasts, all the radio stations here locally now are using some version of a system that we started using back in Walker Valley 10, 15 years ago. But it was researching, trying to figure out, I know we can do it. How can we do it? And then how can we make sure that we're doing it and it's a quality product? So you continue to work on that. And obviously, as technology has evolved and things have gotten a little easier, especially from a streaming perspective, that has changed, but that's the fun stuff is taking the technology and trying to use it in a way. And I think that's one thing that's great about education is we're always, it can do this and then I can use it in my classroom to do this. And I never would have thought of that. So I think that's always one of the great things about education is that we're looking at things and taking tools and things that are out there and incorporating it into it in maybe not the most intended way of the tool or the whatever, had intended, but it has an impact. So those are fun. So I enjoy doing all that.
Yeah, it's just, it's being creative, finding new ways, like you just said. It's just, it makes it, it really just makes it a lot, it makes it fun to do those things instead of being stagnant. All right, Shelley, what do you got for us? What are you looking forward to? What's something that's coming up in your world?
A teaching perspective, one of the tools that I found that I'm beginning to dive more into is TeachAid, which kind of helps develop lesson unit plans or stuff like that, which also then once you develop that, and it also has a feature in there that also creates a live portion of it to where it develops the slides and helps even be able to interact with students. And one of the neatest things about that platform that I like is the interaction between you and the student. Nobody knows. So they can type that teacher a message, and the only one that's going to know that is that student and that teacher. So the fact that you can build a whole unit plan, break it down into smaller lesson plans, have it to create slides, and then also add that online feature to where you have that interaction with your individual students, how much more engaging that would be. And especially for those students that we have that are not always willing to talk and not willing to, you know, they want to hide behind. I mean, I was one of those kids that always stayed quiet in the classroom, didn't want to ask a question. But here they had that opportunity, ask a question and not feel like they have any problems of being made fun of or anything because it's a dumb question or whatever. But just that opens up another avenue. And it, I mean, it ties in their standards and just a time saver of just having to research part. And then I like the fact that you can tweak it and keep tweaking it. I don't like this lesson, add this one, do this to it. And it's kind of like gets me excited about that part of it. But also like Khan Academy has added Khanmigo, and they have so many features in there that if a teacher would create a class at Khan Academy, it then can bring in that Khanmigo and they have that built-in tutor. So all these new capabilities of helping kids get the tutoring and things they need. Maybe they can't afford a tutor, or maybe they can't stay after school. But now we're adding features, you know, that can help a teacher teach better in one aspect, make the lessons more engaging, and then also provide tutoring for our kids that are struggling.
And I think, you know, when you think about tools are tools, and we think about things like school, like I can go click a button to make a worksheet. I can click a button to do a lesson plan. But I really feel like the upcoming big thing that's coming is going to be more on the student side of how can we impact that student learning, whether it's a front-facing bot, whether it's something interactive, whether I don't know what that something's going to be, but I feel like more side, it's going to be more on the student, and the teacher can create something to impact the student, not just for the teacher. Like, we've all gone to school. We know how to create lesson plans. That's old news. But I feel like, again, pushing that student side of programs. And I've been diving into a couple. One that I've really dove into is Cura Learning. More that I've dove into that and the more people I've talked from that company, they're doing some really cool things that we'll talk about in later episodes, but it's going to be phenomenal, that push that I've seen from all the programs. Or, you know, you got this battle royale where they're all trying to fight for the space, but I think some incredible things that are coming, student-centered things are going to be coming out there. It's just going to be incredible what this world looks like starting next school year. I think we're going to see a lot of those things when we come back in August, and it's going to be like, oh my gosh, this program did this and this program did that. And it's really going to be insane on that. Well, listen, guys, I know I've taken up a big chunk of your day here. I appreciate each and every one of you showing up. I appreciate you hopping in the studio. I appreciate you showing up at your office. I know Colby's at a school, so I appreciate those guys. Do y'all have any last words that you want to share with the listeners about today, or just anything in general?
Something. We're 2 months out from TCEA, and I just have to know, Josh specifically, anybody else wants to chime in, but Josh, what donut haunts you from that trip? Like, a donut that either you didn't eat, that you're just so sad, or that one that you ate and you're like, if I could just have that moment back.
There's so many donuts, Colby, that I missed. I missed opportunities. The one donut, and I don't remember which one it was called, but that one that was a Valentine's Day little special that had like chocolate and fudge and the stuff on top. That was by far the best one I had. And I wish that I got it the next day before we left. That's on my spot. Hey, and speaking of donuts, you know, I know Pam's traveling the world, sending his picture of donuts. But then also, Scott, you went somewhere and you were like, I'm going to send you a picture of donuts. And I waited by my phone for hours. I didn't go anywhere without service. I waited and nothing showed up.
Let me unmute my mic here. To my defense, What actually happened while I was traversing the streets of Boston was Boston is a cannoli town. And so we ended up, well, we did get one donut, and I apologize for not sending a picture of that. It was a Boston cream that was more like a Boston cream sandwich with cut in half with donut as the middle and the cream and then like chocolate frosting on it like that big. But it was a cannoli town. So we had to go. I had probably the best cannoli I've had outside of Italy from Mike's Pastries there. I had a pistachio cannoli that had about, I don't know, it felt like about 2 pounds of filling in there, mascarpone and all that. So that's my fault, Josh. I apologize for not sharing that picture. That'll never happen again. So please accept my apology.
I personally traveled to Nashville and we stopped at Five Daughters Bakery and I saw the donut case and immediately, like, there were people behind me. I didn't make a scene. There was just one lady, but I was like, I really need to video this. I know she was thinking you're that person. But anyway, I videoed and then everybody, you know, got to see those delicious donuts. And then, of course, Scott has to reply, the vanilla cream. It looks amazing. But I didn't get the vanilla cream, but my sister did. And I want to tell everybody, go to Five Daughters Bakery. Just don't, you can get whatever you want, obviously, but you do not want to miss the vanilla cream. It was delicious. I would go back to Nashville just for it. So
it sounds like we're going to have just an end spot of every show where we talk about food or donuts or something. I feel like the past couple of times we've all gotten together, that's what we've done. But I'll forgive you, Scott, this one time. We may just need to find a tech conference in Boston and go eat those.
Fortunately, it's a big part of what we do is eat donuts.
Great memories are made. So listen, before we wrap up, any other last closing thoughts?
No, we're almost the end of the school year.
I know, we're almost in the school year.
We're testing. Things are about to get wild here.
Well, I have much to say, but I'm going to let you invite Jason and myself back because we have so much to share about the STEM Hub. I have a note that I was going to share a bunch of things, but we went a different direction today and so many exciting things I would love to share with your audience.
Yeah, we're going to have I told Jason the other day, we're going to have you guys back on the show, talk about our STEM competition, talk about our STEM Hub, just the great things that we're doing. Well, listen, for episode number 78, I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you watching on the YouTube, Spotify video, like whatever you decided you listen or you want to watch us. It could be fun either way. So listen, remember, you can follow all of us on social media. You can follow the Tech Flush on bcstechnology.org. You know, we got the website, bit.ly/techflush. From there, you can go to my site that I also run, where I just kind of dump all this technology out there that you can check out. Make sure you tune in to all these other people that are posting on social media. They do some incredible things, especially Colby. Colby does some incredible things on the Instagram, and that is Xless C. Burris. And I know the X is on there, but he just carried that over for all the things. Make sure you check him out there. And so for this episode, that'll do it. And until next time, we'll catch you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.